And thank you, praise team and band, for that wonderful, marvelous time of worship and praise, and just a chance to get ourselves invested and involved in what the Lord is doing through the Living Hope Baptist Church and our team here this morning. I come this morning saying grace and peace from God our Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we come here today, I would just like to share with you quickly that a couple of days ago, the Christian world lost a giant of a pastor, giant of a theologian, a godly man. Brother R.C. Sproul went to be with the Lord. Now, Brother Sproul was a Calvinist down to his core, and we can have discussions on that, but he loved the Lord. And he absolutely declared the holiness of God. Half of the commentaries I have in my library are from Brother R.C. Sproul, a pastor, theologian, man of God, declaring the glory of God for so many years. All over the sanctuary, if you have your Bibles with you, whether in printed or digital format, would you please hold your Bibles up over your head? Amen. We glorify God and we read the Word of God. And for those of you that had the digital Bibles on your iPhones, I'm so glad to see that you didn't have solitaire on or something like that. If you would, please turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, and we will be reading verses 8 through 14. But first, let us revisit our core and central passage this morning. It's out of the book of Isaiah, and Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. It says, "Therefore the Lord Himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." And we all know that Emmanuel means God with us. And all God's people said,
amen.
Now as we flip back in our Bibles to the book of Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. If you are there, please say, amen.
Amen.
Reading from the book of Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14. "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people.'" Moving on to our next screen. "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you," "for there is to born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And now with the passages we love so much. "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men.'" Let's go to the Lord one more time in prayer. Father God, we thank you for this opportunity to come into your house to read your word. Lord, for these next few moments as we set our thoughts on yours and on your word, Lord, we ask that you bless the preacher, forgive him his sins, for they are many. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends, if I had only one sentence, if I had only one thing that I was allowed to speak for the rest of my life, it would be this: that Jesus Christ is L-O-R-D, Lord.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is Lord. Therefore, may I ask you a couple of personal questions this morning? May I intrude a little bit upon your thoughts? And I have just a few questions I want to ask before we begin our message. The question is, do you believe in His Lordship? Is that something that you personally believe in? Let me move on to the second question. Have you personally crowned Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life? In other words, think about that. Have you crowned Him as Lord? Is He the Lord of all that you are? Is Jesus Christ the Lord of all that you have? Is He the Lord of all that you do? Think about it for a moment. Really think about this. Is Jesus Christ the Lord of your tongue? Is He the Lord of your thoughts? Is He the Lord of your time? Is He the Lord of your temper? Is He the Lord of your treasure? Listen, folks. He is Savior. That is Christ's title. He is the Savior. But that Savior is Christ, the Lord. And He needs to be the Lord of our lives. You know, it's one thing to sing, as we did just a few moments ago. It's one thing to sing, bring forth a royal diadem and crown Him Lord of all. It's quite another to live with Jesus Christ as Lord. You know, we are all here to declare Christ as Lord. We are all here to declare Christ as Lord. Amen. One more time. We are all here to declare Christ as Lord. Amen. I had the opportunity this morning of meeting a gentleman. And Marguerite Joseph and her husband here this morning with their family. And Pastor Fortenay, right? I mess that up almost every time. But Pastor Fortenay, her father was a pastor for so many years. And we are honored to have the pastor that replaced him in the church. Back in their home. Amen? What an honor it is to have this man of God with us this morning. He's got big shoes to fill. Amen? Big shoes to fill. Because the man of God that declares the Word of God will always declare Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. Always. And so we come here this morning rejoicing in that. You know, it's quite one thing to live with Jesus Christ as Lord. But let me ask you this final and third question. Are you gladly, freely, openly, boldly confessing, proclaiming Christ as Lord? Amen. See, that's what we're called to do. Look at, if you have your Bibles, please look again at verse 11. If you're there, please say amen. Amen. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Guys, having Jesus Christ as Lord is a cause for celebration. I preached last week on the first two songs in the New Testament. The Song of Elizabeth, which is a song of praise. Then we spoke about the Song of Mary, the song of worship. Okay, it's one thing to come to church. But when we praise the Lord, it should be a hootenanny, amen? It should be a celebratory thing. I don't know who came up with the idea that church is supposed to be all quiet and solemn and reserved. For those of us that are the redeemed of Christ, it is a glorious thing to be of the redeemed. It's a glorious thing to have that going on in our lives. And having Jesus Christ as Lord is cause for celebration, not fear. Verse 10 says, what from the angel? Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to what? All people. Now, I looked that up in my studies this week. I looked at the Greek and the breathing marks and the subtitles and the super titles. And the word all means all. You guys know me too well here. You guys don't get ahead of me here now. All right? That means all. Christ is to be Lord of all. Christ is to be, He's cause for celebration for all people of the world. John 3:16, Jesus says what? The world, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but what? Have everlasting life. God so loved the Son that He gave what? His only begotten Son, that whosoever. Whosoever means what? All. You guys are the whosoever. You look around the sanctuary, you are the whosoever. The homeless person walking down the street is the whosoever. The rich man in his towers of ivory is the whosoever. Whosoever that believes upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? It's a wonderful thing. But, well, hang on. Why was the angel telling him, do not fear? Why did he say fear not? You see, in biblical times, to say that Jesus Christ was Lord was a very big deal. It was a very big deal, especially to the Jewish people. Because to say that Jesus Christ was Lord to the Jews, to the Hebrews, was to say that Jesus was co-equal and co-eternal and co-all-powerful with God. You see, in the Old Testament, the name Lord is really Yahweh, interpreted, pronounced by us in the English language as Jehovah, How that happened is a study for another time. But it's translated over 7,000 times in our Bible, and it's translated every time as Yahweh, the Lord, Jehovah. Now, a pious Jew, a godly Jew, a Jew that was trying to follow all the precepts of his God, if he were reading the Scripture, when he came to that name, when he came to that word, Lord, they had such enormous respect for the Lord, they would not even pronounce it audibly. They would call Hashem God. They would simply close their eyes and worship their God. You see, back then there were no printing presses. And when Bibles wore out, when the Scriptures wore out, they had to be transcribed. They had to make another copy of the Scripture. They took great pains to make sure it was exactly as the previous copy. And if the scribe was making a copy of the Bible, as he was copying in his Bible, when he came to that word Yahweh, when he came to that word Lord, Jehovah, he would stop what he was doing. He would ritually bathe himself. He would confess his sins. He would change the ink pen and get a new quill and write the name of God. Every single time. Is that what the Lord means to your heart? Do you revere God that much in your heart? Because He is a mighty God, amen? He is a glorious God. But listen, guys. Even more than that, look at verse 11 one more time. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. For a Gentile to say that, for a Greek or a Roman to say that, no. They would not say that. See, you have to understand that in those days the ruler of the world was Caesar. And Caesar demanded to be called their God. Caesar demanded that. And early Christians would never say that Caesar was God. Never. Whether they were killed or beaten or martyred. So I ask today, is Jesus Christ your Lord that way? Would you ever deny the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, we see that ISIS has been beaten back in the Mideast and we have them on the run. But did you know how many Christians that they martyred? Thousands. They march them out on the beaches and tell them to just renounce Christ and accept Islam. And none of them did. There is no other name than the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? There is no name like that. And so no matter what, I ask today, will you confess Him as Lord? Think about what the early Christians really did. Think about this. They took the highest title possible. Lord Yahweh Jehovah. Are you with me? Say amen.
Amen.
And they declared their leader, Jesus, a homeless, jobless, penniless carpenter, Lord. Declared Him Lord. Friends, what Jesus had is not what He was. And I got a newsflash for you today. What you have or what you do not have does not define who you are.
Amen.
If you are of the... give God praise for that. If you are the redeemed of God, you are a chosen race. You are precious to God in His sight. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Amen. Royal blood flows through your veins. When you stand and speak the name of Jesus, every demon in Broward County trembles in fear and runs to get away from you. Never forget who you are. Who you are is not defined by what you have. But, you know, back then they declared a homeless, jobless, penniless carpenter Lord, and who then died publicly as a condemned criminal naked on a cross. Absolutely the most shameful way to die. Not only that, then they went, on top of that, the Christians went everywhere defying Caesar. You are not the Lord. Listen, friends, government can do good things. Don't let the government become your Lord. You are put on this world for a purpose. And what is that purpose? To declare Jesus Christ as Lord. Amen. That is why we were placed here. So they went everywhere defying Caesar, publicly proclaiming the lordship of their discredited master. And what's more, they did this at the risk of beatings or death. They did it when they were on trial. On the screen, you should see a passage from Acts chapter 2 and verse 36. What do they say here? Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, some folks say Christians shouldn't point fingers. I submit to you, that's a pretty good case of finger pointing. To stand in front and say you are the one that crucified the Lord. My friends, here today, watching on the internet, this Christmas I ask this, can you say Jesus Christ is Lord? You see, Christ as Lord means that Christ is first in your life. He's first. And just as a reminder, it is never Jesus and. It is never Christ and. I believe I mentioned this last week. You see, friends, you never add anything to Jesus Christ because He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the all-sufficient one. And before I continue here, I just want to share. I have a terribly sore back this morning. And I took some medication. And so if I break out into sweat here, it's normal. I'm fine. Don't come up here and get me. If I start calling Christmas Easter too many times, you might want to drag me off of here. But it feels like that medicine is kicking in a little bit. I just thought I'd say that. I find that it's making me want to preach even more. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. That means that He is the Alpha and the Omega. It means he is the first and the last. He is the beginning and the end. It is never Christ and. When you make a decision in your life, it's not Christ and something. It is Christ or something. In other words, it's Christ. I will follow Jesus Christ or I will follow Caesar. I will live for Christ or I will live for things in the world. I cannot stress this enough. Christ must not only be first in your life, He must be foremost in your life. Jesus Christ does not want a place in your life. Jesus Christ wants preeminence in your life. He deserves, He demands preeminence in your life. Do you believe in His lordship? Is He prominent in your life? Perhaps you answer, Pastor, yes, I have. Yes, I do. Well, have you crowned Him Lord of your life? Oh, yes, Pastor, I have. Okay, then. If you've received Jesus as Lord, if you have crowned Him Lord of your life, are you openly, publicly professing, proclaiming Christ as your Lord, even if it costs you something? You see, praise takes... There's no cost to praise. We can sit here and praise Jesus, but to proclaim Christ is to worship Christ. Amen. And worship always costs us something. Guys, when you boldly profess Christ, things will radically, dramatically change in your life. What things? I am so glad you asked. You guys are probably sitting there thinking, Pastor, been preaching for a while. We haven't got to point number one yet. But we're going to move through these quickly. I do want to share this. No, it is my common practice to preach what we call with exegesis, line by line, verse by verse. But we're going to concentrate on a theme this morning of Christ as Lord. When you proclaim Christ, write this in your notes. What happens? Well, first, salvation is declared. Salvation is declared. Publicly confessing Jesus Christ as Lord and living that way is a declaration that you are saved. It's a declaration of your salvation. Look at the screen for just a moment. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. If you could bring that up on the screen, please. Did I leave that off? No, there we are. How many of you guys have seen this passage before? Hallelujah. It says what? That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, what? You will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. May the Lord add His blessings upon His glorious, magnificent Word. You see, if He is not your Lord, then He is not your Savior. He must be your Lord. Listen, friends, how does that happen? What does Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 say? It says, for by grace you have been saved through what? Faith. And that not of yourselves, it is what? The gift of God. When you have faith in the Lord's plan, when you have faith that God's plan is the best, when you call upon Jesus Christ as Lord, and you say, Lord, save me, God says to you, consider it done. Just like that. Just like that. Sometimes we Christians, we Baptists, we put a lot of rules on this, okay? But we know that those rules aren't required. What is required for a person to become a member of heaven? Receive Jesus Christ as Lord. Amen. How do we know that? Well, simple, the thief on the cross. When Christ was on the cross, there were thieves on each side, two criminals on each side of them. One of them cursed Him. But the other one said, Lord, today, remember me when you come into your kingdom. What did Jesus say? This very day, you will be with me in paradise. Amen. He didn't have time to get baptized. He didn't have time to become a church member. He didn't have time to get out and do good works. It pains me to say this as a preacher. He didn't have time to give of his tithes and offerings. He didn't have time for any of that. He had time to receive Jesus Christ as Lord. Amen. And that was all that was required. To declare that Christ is His Lord. He must be... Salvation by grace through faith happens immediately. It happens totally. It happens eternally. At the end of our services, we always have an invitation. Listen, friends, whether if you're on the internet or sitting here in this sanctuary, if you receive Christ and it happens while I'm preaching, you are saved. Your salvation is not held off until you come forward at the invitation. That's simply a public declaration. That's a public declaration of what has already happened in your heart. But I do encourage you, if you've never done that in your life, find a time to come forward in your church. If you're visiting today, do that in your church. If you're a member, if you've been attending here at Living Hope Baptist Church for a while and you've never in your life made a public profession of Christ, you need to do that. We believe in baptism by immersion. If you've never been baptized by immersion, we encourage that. Follow the obedience of Christ in baptism by immersion. Why? Because He must be Lord of your life. Amen. If you're ashamed to come forward, if you're not bold enough to come forward, friends, we got an issue there. You need to take care of that. Here's something you may not know. For my Bible students, or for all of us here today, here's a nugget. I like to give us a good nugget each week when I preach. Did you know that Jesus Christ is called Savior only 24 times in all of the Bible? But did you know that He is declared Lord 433 times? He is to be Lord 20 times more than He is your Savior. He needs to be the Lord of your life. Amen. So first, when you proclaim Christ is Lord, salvation is declared. Secondly, second point, Satan is denied. Satan is denied. That old devil, he's got to go. When Jesus shows up, Satan's got to go. See, Satan hopes that you never learn to confess, that you never learn to proclaim, that you never learn that you or believe that Christ is Lord. You see, what is the confession of the New Testament church? What is the confession of the New Testament church? Jesus Christ is Lord. Listen, friends, look at this. Write this passage down in your margins. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11 reads, and they overcame Him, talking about the devil, they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. What is the word of the testimony of the Christian? Jesus Christ is Lord. I like to add on there, to the glory of God the Father. Hallelujah. See, when you take the name of Jesus Christ as Lord, and then boldly and you gladly and you rejoicingly fling the name of Jesus Christ in Satan's face, he cowers in fear at those words. He's a defeated foe. Yeah, the Lord's let him run around, make a little trouble. But he's beaten. Satan has no power over you. None. Anything that happens to you in your life is only because God allows it. And it is in God's permissive will that we can go through difficulties. It is in God's permissive will that you may be going through cancer or you've gone through cancer. Satan saying, you see, Miss Ruth Ann, Miss Sunita, strike them with cancer and they will curse you. But the Lord knows better, amen?
Amen.
The Lord knows these women are women of God. You may say, strike Francis with cancer unto death. And before he dies, he will curse your name. Yet Francis marched into heaven, singing the glories of God. Down to the last moment. Getting up when he couldn't even walk. Driving around to see his fellow Christians. His fellow members of his church. I get chills thinking about these things. Christians that remain strong in spite of adversity. You see, he's a conquered foe, this Satan. Because Christ is Lord. I have come to see so clearly what power there is in declaring the name of Jesus Christ. I was speaking with some co-workers recently who are all excited about a worldly party that they were invited to. They asked me if I wanted to go. But all I said was, and I said it gently, I said it with grace and mercy. Have I told you what the Lord Jesus has done for me? As soon as I felt those words, as soon as I said those words, I felt the power of God come all over me.
Amen.
Listen, guys, why? Because I know Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life, and I am not ashamed of the gospel. I am not ashamed of the gospel. Listen, friends, Satan does not want you to understand the power of that testimony. He does not. He wants to see you get beaten down by the things of the world. But when you are starting to move in a halting way in your life, when you are starting to feel beaten down, simply declare Jesus Christ as Lord. Watch the power fill into your life. Just stand up and say, Lord, I belong to you. No matter what. And tell others, and show others, I belong to the Lord. He is my God. Tell them you belong to Him. And Christ will be glorified. And Satan will be denied. Amen?
Amen?
Third, the saints become driven when Christ is proclaimed. Now, I don't mean driven out. Have you ever seen somebody who's just driven with the passion of what they're doing in their lives?
Yeah.
You might say, well, Pastor, it sounds like you up there singing about Jesus. Well, I haven't sang yet, but I'm feeling it. I feel it coming on sometime soon.
Amen.
You know, Pastor Carol promised that next week him and I were going to sing a duet. Made me promise and shake hands right in front of the church. I believe I will be singing the very low background music on that. Pastor Carol cannot sing. I can make a joyful noise, however. But listen, friends. You want to be a strong Christian? Do you want to be a focused Christian? Then be bold about your faith. Declare Christ as Lord. Use some grace. Use some mercy. Don't be that person that says, you know, I was sharing Christ with them. And beating them over the head with my Bible when things turn ugly. Don't be that person. Share what God has done in your life. Confess openly, verbally, that Jesus Christ is Lord. See, if you want your faith to be strong, put your faith that's in your heart in your mouth. Did you catch that? Say amen.
Amen.
You need to put what's inside in your mouth. You need to begin to articulate it. You begin to audibly say, Jesus Christ is Lord. You need to audibly begin sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. You need to let your soul boast in God.
Amen.
And you'll find that your faith will begin to grow more and more. And that isn't all. When you declare your faith in Christ, your love for Jesus will grow beyond all measure. You won't look at things the same way. You will discover when you confess the Lord Jesus Christ, the glories of heaven. Now you will also discover that it will cost you. People will mock you. I see it got quiet in here. Pastor, you're not really selling that anymore. You see, whatever we sacrifice for, we tend to love. When you sacrifice for something, you tend to love that something more. Amen? But friends, expect the world to turn on you. As a matter of fact, I can tell you whether or not you're getting worldly. I can tell you if you're getting worldly in your life. I can tell you if you're beginning to turn to the flesh. It's when you fail to desire to declare the name of Jesus Christ. Now listen, watching on the internet, I'm sure we have Marnell. Marnell's getting in Wednesday, I believe, correct?
Yes.
Hallelujah. We're so looking forward to that young lady coming in. But we know we have our college students and our folks that are around the world that are watching this service right now. And listen, I understand college is difficult these days, college students. I understand colleges are full of liberal professors. It's good to learn things. That is a wonderful thing. But remember this, Jesus Christ is Lord.
Amen.
Christ is Lord. And whatever that professor says, that's in direct opposition to what the Word of God says, that pastor is wrong. Pardon me, that professor is wrong. Well, it's good for pastors too. If a pastor says something that's in opposition to what the Word of God says, that pastor is wrong. That's why I ask you all to have your Bibles open in your laps. Keep your eyes on me. So friends, neighbors, college students, listen to me. You have to operate in the world, but you don't have to be of the world. Amen? All right, so when we do that, the saints become driven. Become driven in your passion and love for Christ. Part number four. When Christ is proclaimed, sinners are delivered. Sinners are delivered. What are they delivered from? They're delivered from the gates of hell. They're delivered from a fate that's unimaginable. Let me share something with you. Well, let me ask something of you. How many sinners do we have here in this sanctuary? Raise your hands. All you other fibbers should have put your hands up. Listen, guys. Don't ever forget this one. All right, you look up here. Everybody look up here. God knows what we are.
Amen.
And He still decided to save us.
Amen.
God knows who we are. What am I? I'm a sinner saved by grace. Now, Brother Cliff had to leave today. He had one of the people that worked for him. His jeweler, the mother, I believe, passed away. Wife passed away. Really? Wow. We're going to keep that. What is his name, Miss Mercy? What?
Ivy.
We're going to keep that in prayer. So Brother Cliff had to leave after the worship. But listen, guys. That song, Sinners Praise, Sinners Saved by Grace, I hope we get to sing that in a quartet here. Miss Jamie, if you can get Brother Cliff and Cecil and yourself, and I'm not singing, but maybe somebody else. Sinners saved by grace. Now listen, guys, listen to me. God knows what we are, but we are still called to share the gospel. I'm not good enough to share the gospel. Friends, none of us are good enough to share the gospel. But we are sinners saved by grace. We can't all be preachers, but we can all be reachers. Amen?
Amen.
We can't all be we can't all be Bible teachers, but we can all be testifiers of Christ.
Amen.
You may say, Pastor, that seems so hard. I agree, it can be difficult sometimes. But it is so necessary, it's so needed, it's required. As in fact, Jesus said that we are commanded to do so, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ throughout the ends of the world by Jesus Himself in Matthew 28, the last four verses, where He gives us the great commandment and the great commission. That means that we are to open our mouths and share Christ so that people may hear the good news and therefore be saved. How are they to know if they don't hear? And just so you understand, some people say, well, if I live a good life, they'll look at me and model that and maybe they can get saved that way. What a bunch of baloney. People are not saved by our lives. People are saved by the death of Christ and believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the only way that we redeemed of God have been able to live a good life is because Jesus Christ lives in us. It can take somebody like me, a pale piece of pig's ear for so many years of my life. And when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we become bold in that. And when we open ourselves up and say, Lord, whatever you want, I am yours. Just save me. Whatever He will make you bold when He lives in us. Amen? Give God some praise here, folks, as we're getting toward the end of this. Hallelujah. Now listen to me. humanly speaking, and I say humanly speaking, there are some pretty good folks in here. As a matter of fact, I happen to be married to one of them. Don't know what she was thinking. But if someone compliments you in a good life, listen closely. If someone compliments you on your good life, always give Jesus Christ the glory.
Amen.
Always the glory goes to God. Amen. Otherwise, you're taking praise in false pretenses. It isn't you that changed you. It's the Christ that lives in you that changed you. We are saved by the gospel. What is that? We are saved by the gospel so that we can share the gospel. So others can be saved by the gospel. God did not make it simple, hard, amen? He made it very simple. And how can people know if we don't tell them? How can they know? So get bold about being a soul winner, amen? You know, we don't say that enough nowadays, amen? Do we, Pastor? We don't say it enough nowadays. Be a soul winner. How do you get to be a soul winner? Share Jesus Christ. You're not going to save their soul, but the Word of God will.
Amen.
Share Christ is the Lord, amen? So we've seen that salvation is declared, Satan is denied, saints are driven, sinners are delivered. Oh, now we come to a good one. Part 5. For the Christian, when we proclaim Christ, service is not difficult. Service is not difficult. When you serve God and you realize who you're serving, hallelujah!
Amen.
Who could not get excited about serving God? You see, it requires something of us, but it required so much more of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to get your life simplified, just ask the two questions that Paul asked on the road to Damascus when he was on his way to kill Christians. And the Lord Jesus appeared in the great light and spoke to him. What did Saul then, his name was then Saul, what did Saul say? Who are you, Lord? You see, if you ask that question and you ask it honestly, the Lord will reveal who He is to you. Who are you, Lord? And once he realized who Jesus Christ was, he said, Lord, what would you have me to do? You see, it's not what we want, amen? It's what he wants.
Amen.
I'm here to tell you that I've been in this church for many, 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 many years. I started here just attending the services. But when I caught fire for Jesus, I didn't care what I did. I just wanted to do something for God. I would get excited about cleaning the bathrooms. I would get excited about picking up trash in God's parking lot. I would get excited about straightening the chairs. To this day, if you watch me before service, I'm out here straightening chairs. Why? Because this is God's house.
Amen.
This is where we come to praise Jesus. Amen?
Amen?
Lord, what would you have me to do? I want you to ask that of yourself today. Lord Jesus, what would you have me to do? You know, too many preachers try to be great guys. Too many preachers try to please everyone in the church, preaching messages that tickle the ears, when there is only one person that needs to be pleased, and that is Jesus.
Amen.
You see how that simplifies things? Let me tell you a secret. You ready for this? Please say amen.
Amen.
If we please God, it doesn't matter who we displease.
Amen.
And if we displease God, it doesn't matter who else we please. How do we please God? There is but one simple way to please the Heavenly Father, and that is to receive Jesus Christ as Lord.
Amen.
That is the only way to please Him. I have one final comment, and then we're done. The question is not this. The question is not, will you acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord? The question is, when will you acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord? Because it's going to happen. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 through 11, write that in your margin. We read from the Word of God. Therefore, God also has highly exalted Him and given Him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Amen.
May the Lord add His blessings upon His Word there. You see, friends, one day you will meet Jesus face to face. And let me ask you this. If I were to say these words, Jesus Christ is returning at 2:15 this afternoon. Does that thought fill your heart with joy, with glory, with passion? Or did you just get a little shock of fear there? Because if you have that shock of fear, you got some things you got to get right with God.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
Friends, make Him the Lord of your life. And when you meet Jesus, you'll meet Him safely saved. Or you will meet Him and be justifiably judged. And I don't want that. I don't want that for anyone. See, the world thinks that Christians are looking to beat people down and to tell them, you're just a dirty old sinner. That you need to do this, you need to do that. And that's not what we want at all. Friends, if you're sitting here in this sanctuary and you are not saved, if you're watching on the internet and you are not saved, we want you to understand that when we issue the invitation today, every one of God's people is praying in this sanctuary that you will receive Jesus Christ. We don't want to go to heaven without you. We want to go to heaven with you. Because it's one day, all will bow down and declare Jesus Christ as Lord. You see, we focused on verses 10 to 11 today. We focused on Jesus Christ as Lord. But look in your Bibles one time, more time, verses 13 and 14. Verses 13 and 14. If you're there, please say amen.
Amen.
You see, Pastor Larry tricked you up. Some of you, I see you digging your Bibles back out. That's all right, guys. Are you ready? Say amen. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. You know, last week we learned, as I said, about the praise songs. The song of praise by Elizabeth. We learned about the song of worship called the Magnificat by Mary. But now we're here. This is called the Gloria. That's what it's called by theologians, sung by the hosts of heaven. And what a choir it is that sings this song. They appear suddenly, majestically, in a great multitude singing praises to God. You see, the angel in verse 9 brings his friends. And friends, when you declare the glory of God, you bring the heavenly host with you. When you share the gospel of Jesus Christ, there's a great crowd of witnesses standing alongside you. And by the way, verse 9 says that the angel stood before. Don't miss that. He stood before the shepherds. It's important you understand that. So you see, the angels weren't standing with the shepherds, nor were they hovering above the shepherds. No, the host that came to stand before and with that angel were standing in the ground in the hills around the shepherds. A heavenly choir using the hills of Jerusalem as the choir loft. Oh man, wouldn't it be great to see that? You will someday. You absolutely will someday. Picture the hill around the shepherds full of angels. Picture the hills around the shepherds full of the heavenly host. Apparently, suddenly, the sky split apart. There for one purpose, to declare the glory of God and to give praise. And what are they praising God for? Glory to God in the highest. Peace on earth. Why? Because the Prince of Peace has come. The Prince of Peace has come. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, we read, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. What a great thing. Why has Jesus Christ come? Because God wants a relationship with man. Peace on earth, goodwill toward man. Friends, God wants you in His heaven. And so He sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to make a way. And I say glory to the Father. His name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Prince of Peace. And all of God's people said,
amen.
Hallelujah to the glory of God. Grace and peace from God the Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You've been so patient with me.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, visit our website at www.lhcfl.com. Visit us on Facebook or get the ChurchLink app from the App Store. Again, thank you, and we hope to see you in service soon.